This is the Inch Podcast, a production of InsideCollegeHockey.com. Now, let's send it to our podcast host, Joe Vedashevsky.
This is the Inch Podcast. My name is Joe Vedashevsky, recorded April 1st, 2009. Happy April Fools, and your favorite fools are back again. Podcast with you. My name is Joey Ladishevsky. As mentioned, pleased to welcome in WCHA senior writer Jess Myers. Hello, Jess.
Hi, guys. How's everybody? I have nothing left to do the rest of the season being the WCHA senior writer.
Well, wait till we assign you to the locker room of Bemidji State's Wednesday morning practice.
Giddy up.
Attaboy.
I'm there.
There we go.
That's beaver fever, baby.
That's your job. We've all got the beaver fever. Okay. Mike Ottobus, Inch columnist and editor, Hi Bus.
Hey, I watched that on pay-per-view this weekend.
Showed up on your hotel bill?
Yeah, I don't know what the heck that was all about.
Honey, I swear to God, that wasn't me.
I expressly told them not to include such services. I thought I had blocked that, but well. And aren't you going to... I think, Jess, you do have a lot at stake since Bemidji State will most likely be added to the WCHA during the summer, and their Frozen Four appearance will be retroactively included in the league's running tally of Frozen appearances.
Frozen streaks.
Yeah. Absolutely. The WCHA folks put out a press release, I think it was yesterday, noting that this was only the fourth time in history that we've had a Frozen Four without a WCHA team. But, yeah, if the Beavers are admitted, they'll include it, I'm sure.
Yeah, that'll be third. You know, get your facts right, straight, then distort them as you please.
Right. And Rico Blasi used to coach in the WCHA, so they'll claim that somehow, too, I'm sure.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, Bus checked into that hotel room and said, I like the pornography in my room disabled. And they said, we only have regular porn.
But I'm pumped, cha.
Okay.
You sickie, they say.
Da, 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 yeah.
Okay. And finally, or not finally, but at last, we introduce Jeff Howe, a hockey senior writer. Hello, Rook.
I'm glad you introduced me with a tasteless joke. It couldn't have happened any other way.
I was actually kind of closing out the Bus introduction with the tasteless joke, but.
Well, it came before me also.
It did. It came before you.
That's what she said.
That's what she said. Okay.
Oh, we might have to start this over.
No, we're good. We're plowing right through.
Let's go with it. Okay. Guys.
She said.
Wow. Okay.
Nobody could have expected what we saw last weekend. Unless you're a blogger and you decide to write after the fact. What happened instead of projecting what happened. But in the meantime, let's talk about, we've got four Frozen teams. Certainly nobody expected them. Bemidji State, Vermont, Boston University, and the Miami Redhawks. Jess, you were in the Mariucci Regional. Let's start with you. You saw some great hockey. The fourth seed came out of that in Miami, but what did you think overall about the weekend?
I saw some very interesting hockey, let's put it that way. You know, I'll be honest, the first game wasn't great. Denver looked like a team that was pretty beat up and wasn't very enthused to play another hockey game. And Miami took advantage of that and did what they do very effectively. Kind of an emotional thing for George Gwozdecki afterwards to get beat by his old guy. And then the night game, the second game, was just unbelievable. And I said this to you guys privately, and I'll say it again here. Of the teams I saw live and the teams I saw on TV last weekend, the one that impressed me the most was the Princeton Tigers. I mean, man, did they move the puck well and forecheck aggressively, and they've got great goaltending. As amazing as it was that UMD found a way to win that, it was just as amazing that Princeton found a way to lose that game, because that was a very solid hockey team and probably deserved a lot better than they got.
You know, it's funny, Jess, because I saw that the prior week at ECAC hockey when they lost to Cornell, and in this, not the same manner, but a similar manner, that they had a 2-goal lead with, you know, 3 minutes left to play and lost that game. And it's amazing that you look at that team, and the only thing I can hope for that team, and like you said, not as a cheerleader standpoint or a I want Princeton to win standpoint, but just because they deserve better.
Yeah. You know,
maybe these,
yeah, absolutely.
Maybe these lessons that they'll learn for you know, losing, you know, two out of the last three games of their season in that manner, maybe that makes them a better team next year. And I think heading into next season, even losing, you know, Jubenville and Kushnerook and Wilson, who are the only three seniors on that team,
yep.
I still think Princeton might be the team to beat heading into next season.
Yeah, I mean, that's a program going in the right direction. And
yeah, who knows what they're going to add.
Well, yeah, it's you know, still a place that people want to go to school, I think.
Yeah, I would. There's certainly a little the lure of getting an education, but I have to agree that, somewhat agree. You know, I didn't see all of the Princeton game. I saw the vast majority of it against UMD, and I thought that was the best game of the weekend.
Absolutely,
yeah. Just tons of action up and down. I mean, the teams. You know, there wasn't getting a two goal lead and hanging on to it.
Right. Which is what I saw in the other two games.
Right.
Miami grabbed onto leads and just kind of clung onto them. And that's not an insult to Miami. God bless them. They're at the Frozen Four, and they deserve all the credit they've got for the system they have and making that system work.
Oh, CCHA hockey?
Exactly.
Hang on one second, guys. I'm not going to make a point on this. I just want to throw this before we get into the discussion any further. New Hampshire, North Dakota is the only other game that can compare.
True.
Okay. So, okay. Now, go ahead.
I would agree with that. But I don't think that game was as it was exciting in the standpoint of there was 11 goals and they get a goal. New Hampshire gets a goal with 1/10 of a second left, and then they win at it right within the first 45 seconds of overtime. But I don't think that was as well played as the Princeton UMD game was played. Yeah. I thought that was just a great contest. I mean, it wasn't. You know, the teams made some mistakes, but I don't think that the mistakes that they made, led to Princeton losing or UMD winning. I guess maybe you could call into question, and I would defer to Jess on this one because he was there. But at the end of regulation when Kalemba played the puck into the corner,
right, that's the one they'll be talking about.
I don't know.
But his instinct was right. His instinct is keep the clock moving.
Absolutely. I personally, when I was watching it, I thought it was the right decision. But, I think the defenseman thought he was going to hold on to it for the faceoff.
There was hesitation there.
Hesitated just a bit, and he didn't win the battle. You know, if he just keeps going, he tips the puck into the corner, and the game's over.
Let's go back to 1902 of the third period.
Oh, when Hobie Baker was a freshman?
Of the period, where is that penalty coming from? A guy gets a high-sticking penalty from his knees against the boards? What happened on that play, Jess? I mean, nobody's talking about this.
Yeah, that was a goofy call.
That was a referee trying to make a situation out of something that didn't have to be a situation.
You know, and at the time, it looked harmless because UMD's downfall all weekend was their power play. They had the best power play in the WCHA during the regular season, and this past weekend, it was non-existent.
Until overtime.
Until there was 1 minute left on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
And on Saturday night, you score two power play goals, you win that game. When you have 2 5-on-3s in the second period, not only do you don't score, but you give up a shorthanded goal, and there's your season.
Yeah. But where's that penalty coming from?
I
didn't see it. I watched it a bunch of times. I still haven't seen it.
You're talking about Matt Chigas?
Yeah.
As it said in the game sheet.
Yeah.
This gets to, an overall
theme. We got to talk about this later, and we'll get to it later.
Yeah, an overall theme. And again, we'll go through the games first and then kind of come back to this. But, as good as the upsets were, and as exciting as that was, there was a lot of great games, no question about it. I think on the complete other end of the spectrum, I thought the officiating was
below average.
Below average as a whole, and the range of that goes from average to atrocious.
Yeah, and we've been around for 7 years now and inside college hockey, and we're not ref killers. And actually, many, many times we've been ref defenders. But I got to say, there are a lot of things that I kind of looked at and said, what's going on here? And one of those was with a minute left, you know. And I think, you know, maybe CCHA guy doing that game, Princeton and Duluth, says, hey, you know what, let's throw a penalty in here. We'll make it interesting. We'll spice things up. It's not going to happen, is it?
Did they get paid for overtime?
It happened.
Conspiracy theory.
Time and a half. But, you know, it happened, and I'm just saying, I'm like, wait, it didn't make any sense to me. And you know what's even worse? And this was what made me nuts. And people say, oh, you know what, you're the UCAC hockey writer and whatever. And, you know, Jess, you're the WCHA writer. And
Yep. We've
talked about a million times, you know, you're a Duluth grad. And we'll be honest about that. But the thing to me, the worst call was with 12 seconds left when they called the Duluth guy for running the goalie and moving
the
face
up. That was a bad call.
That was a horrible call.
And what was great, too, I T-voted it. You know, I was obviously in the press box. I T-voted it and watched it the next day. And they had Shigos mic'd up. So you could hear his conversation with Sandlin. And he actually said, well, there will be no penalty for goalie interference. Yeah, but I've got to move it outside. It's like there was no contact with the goalie. You know, and I mean, that looked like it was a game-changing call right there.
He was looking for something to make a call. It got to 4-3 or 3-2, whatever it was.
Well,
it was ridiculous.
We should probably save this conversation for later because it could spiral on for hours.
Yep.
I think we said what we need to say.
I wanted to make another point in that. I think that, you know, I get the sense that a lot of this, you know, these rules initiatives that we've seen over the past couple years as far as, you know, cracking down on obstruction and, you know, that's fine and dandy, but I think a lot of this, and if it's enforced, you know, properly and it helps the flow of the game, great, you know, that's fine. But, you know, I think a lot of this stuff has originated in the CCHA, and I think these CCHA officials get a little gun-shy, or I shouldn't say gun-shy, they get a little whistle-happy, you know, because there's
a little jumpy.
Yeah, you know, I think they overcall the game, you know, just because that's, you know, that's where a lot of I feel like this is where a lot of these rules initiatives start is coming out of the CCHA, and you know, kind of spreads to the other leagues.
Well, let's just say it factually: the NCAA interpreter of the rule book is Steve Petrowski.
Yep.
Who's a CCHA ref. And yep. We love Pi, and we've loved him forever, and we've said that forever. A four-man system is far worse than a one-man system with Pi. Call the lines, call the icing, call the penalties.
Yeah, there's no question.
It'd be the best officiated game. It would be the best officiated game of the year. No doubt about it.
But he really is at the top of his game.
He's the best.
Yeah.
The best.
And Gopher fans love him.
The best.
Gopher fans still love him.
He just, well,
yeah. Maine That's fans right. also love him.
Yeah, in a different kind of love.
But, you know, going back to last weekend, I mean, look at the first game. You know, Air Force take nothing
Air Force
away from
Michigan.
Shut out Michigan. You know, Michigan had 2 million shots on goal and probably should have scored on one or two of them.
Yeah, if you're Michigan, you got to bury those.
But, you know, they started out, there's no flow to the game. They're calling a bunch of penalties, a lot of ticky-tack stuff. You know, I think we've pretty much...
We've gone off the rail already.
Well, no, I'm just saying that people know that we prefer that. You know, let's let the players make the plays to win the game.
Let's play hockey.
Exactly. So, but.
Jess, let's get back, you know, anything else on the Mariucci Regional?
Well, the one last kind of funny note I was going to make, and again, we've mentioned that I'm a UMD grad, so if this is insulting to UMD, whatever. But we had this vision on Saturday. I was talking with some friends. We had this vision of one of the Bulldogs 4 years from now riding a bus in like the Western Hockey League somewhere, you know, stopping at an Olive Garden in West Texas before a game, and thinking to himself, man, I can't believe we found a way to win that game. And at the same time, Zane Colombo will be sitting in his bond trading office in New York City making, you know, $280,000 a year, thinking, God, if I just would have held on to the puck for another second. So.
That was actually a pretty good thought.
So you do have a Ivy League education to fall back on, and things are going to be okay. If this is the worst thing that happens to you in your life, you know, God bless you.
We do have to mention one other thing. McGregor Sharp, playoff hero, absolute, you know, postseason stud.
Yep.
Had what, 20 points in the last 11 games of the season or something crazy like that.
He had a nice way to finish, and he was handsomely rewarded for those efforts by the Anaheim Ducks this week. So
yes. However, he is not capturing the spirit of the thing at all. Because in his little profile interview, Bus, you saw it, right?
Sure. I think I did.
He says, I'm from somewhere Alberta. My favorite team is the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, that's right.
My favorite player is Jerome Iginla.
Ooh.
Whoa! And then, to dot the I, he says, before the game, I listened to George Strait to get fired up. Nice play.
Wow.
Enjoyed watching him on the ice. Not capturing the spirit. Mac ain't so sharp.
One last little note, by the way, and you know, I get teased by Gopher fans for my UMD background. I was talking to Don Lucia on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, and he had been at the games, but he kind of laid low. He wasn't in the press box or anything. And he said, hey, I got to ask, I didn't make it up to the press box. He says, did they have enough toilet paper up there? I said, yeah, why? He says, because I heard you crapped yourself when that puck went in. Thanks, Don. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Oh. Forget toilet paper. I hope you had a change of pants.
Yeah, there's some things
or a towel.
Cover.
Yikes.
Hold on.
What is going
on? Who was up right there? Rook?
No, that was... I think that was Jess.
Did I say something poorly?
Yeah, you were...
You transmitted poorly. You said it probably fine.
I think you were broadcasting from Ice Station Zebra there for a while.
You found it. You sounded a little Charlie Brown.
So now we're talking about Bemidji?
Easy.
Easy, easy.
Start again, Jess.
I said, so to sum up the Mariucci Regional, congratulations to Rico and the Red Hawks, and they did what they needed to do to win two games, and congrats on your first Frozen Four berth. We look forward to seeing you.
Good deal. Good deal. Let's go all the way back across the country to Manchester, New Hampshire, and Jeff Howe, you were there. You saw BU.
I did.
You saw New Hampshire.
So did Ohio State.
You saw North Dakota. BU came out of there, and they were kind of they were the chalk. They were the only chalk who came out of their own region. And I'm not going to say the New Hampshire game was comfortable, because it definitely wasn't, but, you know, they got through what they needed to get through. Tell me how you think BU heads to D.C., and what kind of state of mind and what kind of form they're going down there with.
Well, they've got to be really confident, because they completely dismantled an Ohio State team on Saturday, 8-3. Jumped out to a 6-0 lead. It was 3-0 like 10 minutes into the game. I mean, not even close. They coasted to that victory. And then they played probably one of the hardest games. It was probably the most difficult victory they've had all season, and that includes the Lowell game, the BC game, and the Hockey East Championship weekend. I mean, UNH made them earn that victory. That was a tremendous, tremendous performance out of UNH. That was a defensive game plan put forth by you, Millie, and executed by everybody on the ice that was, you know, absolutely phenomenal. And after watching them play zero defense against North Dakota the day before, that was the last thing I think anybody expected to see out of UNH. But, I mean, they brought it. Their forecheck was tremendous. They really packed the neutral zone. And, you know, that was one of the things that I've always found to be really, you know, I found that BU has done really well this season when I've seen them, is that they just fly through the neutral zone really crisp, you know, tape-to-tape passes, setting themselves up for odd man rushes, the whole nine yards, and UNH just made that extremely difficult for them, at least for two and a half periods, until they had to have a meeting in the second intermission and change things up, change how they broke out of their zone and did some different things. But, I mean, they didn't allow UNH to move the puck along the boards in the neutral zone. They didn't let them to go up the middle. And then when they finally got the puck in the zone, they didn't have any long-winded possessions that they usually have. And I think BU kind of hurt itself a little bit, you know, to a fault where it tried to be a little too creative and made the extra pass and was unselfish to a fault, when they probably should have tried to put a few more pucks on Foster and seen what they could have gotten, because he gave up a few rebounds on Saturday. But other than that, I mean, that was a 2-1 game where both teams played so well that, you know, it almost looked like they were playing sloppy at times, but it was an extremely well-played game. BU knows how well UNH played. They've got to be very confident with the fact that they got out of that regional. They're the only one or two seed to make it out of their regional, and you know, they're heading to D.C. as a huge, huge favorite.
Bus. I don't got to talk on this.
I'm sure I'm going to incur the wrath of every Terrier fan on the Eastern Seaboard or wherever they are.
It wouldn't be the first time.
It would not be the first time. But you talk about New Hampshire, and I too was impressed with their game plan against BU, and specifically just how they kept not letting the BU get any speed through the neutral zone, but how they kept the forwards when they'd carry the puck in, all that stuff was kept to the outside.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just amazing, and just how they, you know, a lot of the times the guy would just, it was almost like they, you know, the BU forward would come skate in, get forced to the outside, and then be like, all right, nothing's here. They just almost dump the puck in the corner and retreat. But a couple more things about that game specifically. Kieran Milan, if I'm saying his name right, this
Milan.
Week.
Milan, oh, now he's Milan.
All right, I just say Milan like those Pepperidge Farm cookies. Anyways,
well, it's the Boston goaltender trend of recent years. It was Muse, and now it's Muse, and then it was Thiessen, and now it's Thiessen, and it was Milan, and now it's Milan.
So. It should be Muse.
Will it be Milan next year?
No, that's the other guy.
It was
Milan. Anyway. There's another goalie, Milan. Anyway,
I'll
go ahead.
I'll take your word for it. Anyways,
he might be at Harvard or something.
You should know.
I should, but I don't. But yeah. I don't. Their season ended 6 weeks ago.
Oh, there's that. He really saved their bacon.
Bacon?
Yeah, on...
bacon, nice.
On Sunday.
Bacon.
And, you know, he obviously gets some credit for keeping them in the game. He made some tough saves. You know, the one on Sislo is the one I remember specifically. He absolutely wired that shot.
Yeah, he stoned Sislo twice in the second and third period. Sislo also hit a crossbar. I mean, that guy's got to be wondering what more he had to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know what? Go ahead.
But the other point I want to make about BU is, you know, certainly they come into the Frozen Four as overwhelming favorites, and there's no question about that. But to hear everybody, you know, people, especially, you know, Terrier fans and people who've seen them a lot, rave about how dominant they are. I have to say I'm pretty disappointed in what I've seen from them, you know, in the Hockey East tournament, coming into, you know, obviously they were good against Ohio State, but then against New Hampshire, they should not have won that game. New Hampshire, I thought, outplayed them definitely for the second and third periods.
Yeah.
So it makes me wonder what BU, you know, what kind of mindset is this team in? And secondly, you know, do they think they can just kind of flip the switch and just overwhelm teams? Because I'm gonna say that, you know, if they get down 2-0 to a Vermont or, you know, whomever they may run into in D.C., you know, there's going to come a point where you're going to think you can flip the switch and it's not going to be there.
Let me pop in here right now, Bus, and answer all the questions you just posed. Number one.
So, but I just want to make, you know, I'm still skeptical.
Okay. And here's your answers. Number one, a great team, which we have always assumed BU to be, wins when they're not playing their best, and they've done that. Number two, is there anything better for a team who's not playing well right now and still getting through than a week and a half off? Nothing better than that. That's a great, it's a great job by them. Number three, they don't need, you know, they're going to flip the switch as soon as they hit the ice on Thursday night in D.C. because they know they've played like junk. And Jack said it, you know, Jack Parker said it even after the Hockey East quarterfinal series going into that weekend at the Fleet Center or Bank North Garden Baloney, whatever they call it these days, Yellow Arena. He said, we know we're not playing well, and that's what troubles me. So if they've gotten through 3 weeks of the toughest part of the season not playing very well, I think they're in absolutely awesome shape going out of D.C. And that's where I got to weigh in on that.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I mean, they are definitely not at their hottest stretch of the season, and they're going to have a really, really difficult time against Vermont because the last two teams that they've had trouble with have been obviously Hockey East teams. I mean, Lowell played a similar game plan to UNH and what they played on Sunday, and Vermont is clearly a better defensive team than UNH at least 9 times out of 10. I mean, throughout that weekend when they put up 20-something goals together up in Burlington the last weekend of the season. But, I mean, Vermont is a very, very good defensive team. And giving Kevin Sneddon a week and a half to game plan for BU, I mean, that's it's going to be great for them. So if I think BU is going to win a very, very hard-fought game against Vermont, similar to the one that they played against UNH. And, Boss, you were right. UNH did outplay them that day and probably did deserve to win. But, you know, BU did win the game. They did, or I don't want to say they made the final play, but, you know, UNH didn't make the final play. And Jason Lawrence put the puck on net. James Van Riemsdyk, I mean, who knows, the last memory everybody in Durham may have of him is taking that hooking penalty with 45 seconds to go, regardless of what coaches and players and the fans might have thought about that penalty. I mean, he still took it, and that led to the Jason Lawrence's game-winning goal with the assist from Jerry Polistrone. But that was, I mean, BU in the crunch time, and UNH had a great third period. It's not like they let off the gas after playing a great second period. But when the game really mattered, you definitely saw BU start to tilt the ice a little bit back there. I mean, UNH still had a lot of good chances. Kieran Millan is just phenomenal in net. He doesn't give up anything. He's tremendous, and he is very, very difficult to beat. I mean, there are so many times, 4 or 5 times a game sometimes, when you see him make a save and you say, wow, and only a freshman. So a great defensive system in front of him, and there's just – I can't see them going down this week. I really don't. And I really don't see them going down 2-0 because even when they're not playing well, Kieran Millan is so dominant between the pipes.
Well, yeah, I think there's definitely some good points there. And I was really impressed by Millan. I think, you know, you really have to watch that team a few times before you kind of get the before you kind of start to take notice of them, just because there's so many other things and so many other players you know, when you look at that team, there's so many other players that catch your eye. You kind of think of, well, you think of Milan and thinking, well, he's kind of a product of, you know, of the system and all this talent that they have around him. Not necessarily a defensive system, but the fact that there's, you know, so many other things that that the opposition has to worry about that they're really not, you know, the goalie just has to kind of stop the ones he needs to stop, you know, make the saves he should make, and that'll be enough for that team. But, you know, clearly he saved them this weekend, as, you know, against New Hampshire. You know, I maybe I'm just the doubting Thomas that, you know, I want to see a little bit more from them.
I think,
maybe it is just the fact that they don't have to, that they can play a C plus or, you know, a C or a C plus game and still come away with a victory. I don't know. Maybe I'm expecting too much from them. I'm just kind of,
going to say that. And that,
yeah, exactly.
They right. are, I mean, they can, and there are undoubtedly times when they just try to skate by, and I wouldn't deny that at all. I don't think players on the team would deny it. Jack Parker certainly wouldn't deny it. But I'm wondering if, you know, your expectations of them, because we've talked so highly of them in Notre Dame, which, you know, I'm sure you guys will get to at some point.
And then just coming up next.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder if you expect so much that when you see them and they don't play well, you're kind of you're bored or unimpressed.
Well, you know, to me, it's what can you ask them to do? And they've done everything. So, you know. And if you were to say, well, you never really dominate. We were the number one team in the country for, you know, 20 weeks in a row. You know, what do you want us to do? And you're not going to play your best game every night. And to me, what's impressive about BU is, like I said about the regionals and even the Hockey East tournament, is they weren't at their best and they still got through and they're still playing. And that, to me, is a huge compliment. Huge compliment.
And I mean, you say they didn't dominate. They still won a game 8-3 against a team that was in the NCAA tournament. I mean,
hey, they were up 6-0 28 minutes in.
Right. And
they
then
lost the last 32 minutes.
This is true. I didn't like the way they finished that game at all. But you know what?
I can't blame them, but I...
Exactly. You can't blame a team
for
building a 6-0 lead and then kind of giving up three goals before getting two empty netters. But, I mean, and then think about the other thing. We're sitting here and we're praising UNH for its defensive masterpiece that it played. And it was Belichickian, that game plan that he had on defense out there. And you can't also understate the fact that was the fourth time that they've played UNH this season, and it was the third time that they had to beat them. So, I mean, those are two also extra factors in there that are going to make that win that much more difficult. You know, did they outplay them? Did they deserve? I don't know if you can say they didn't deserve to win the game because they didn't play a bad game. I think a lot of that should go to UNH's credit, but they still got the job done, and that's more than the other top. You know, the next top seven seeds can say.
Jess, you had, Denver and Duluth and your regional out in Mariucci.
Yep.
But then North Dakota was out.
Briefly. Yeah, I did, briefly.
Anyway.
Sorry.
So you keep laying these. Anyway, let's go. What do you think about North Dakota? What is it? Is their season a success or not a success? Their Frozen Four streak has ended, but you know they got there and they again.
By their standards,
500 at the Christmas break. Where does that season rank for North Dakota?
By their standards, it's not a success.
Not a success. You're
because
right
because they didn't get to the Frozen Four and. Yeah, congratulations on the McNaughton Cup.
Won a trophy.
That's an accomplishment. You won a trophy. You're cursed, and we got that out of the way.
Oh, geez.
And I guess, you know, and I watched this on TV, and Rook, you were there. You can comment on this. But I thought North Dakota, for long stretches of that New Hampshire game, outplayed New Hampshire. Looked like they were going to cruise, you know, into the second round. I heard from friends of mine who were there who follow North Dakota who said, oh, yeah, there's no question we would have beat BU the way we were playing. And, you know, well, there is some question. But, yeah, so that was a disappointment by their standards.
Well,
North Dakota, we win every game they've never played. That's the point that those fans are making.
They are undefeated in
– They're undefeated in games they've never played, yes. They're undefeated.
Yeah. North Dakota, there's no question that they outplayed UNH for the majority of that game. And, I mean, they didn't get the job done. And you can talk about the way they mismanaged the last 9 minutes. You can talk about the way they mismanaged the last 15 seconds or the last 4 seconds or however you want to say it. I mean, that was – UNH did everything they could to win that game, and you're not going to win 999 games out of 1,000 when you're down by a goal 4 seconds to go, even if the refs give you an extra 5-minute timeout to figure out where they should drop the puck. And that was ridiculous.
More on that later.
Yep. But, I mean, yeah, North Dakota played better, but you know what? UNH came out, and you got to give them credit for stealing that game.
Absolutely.
And you know what? They didn't play any defense. I said UNH didn't play any defense in that game. North Dakota played just as little. And I was thinking when I was watching that game that there is no way that either one of those teams is going to beat BU the next day. And I still believe that. Well, you know, I give UNH the advantage because, like I just said, they had seen BU 3 times heading into Sunday. There's no way I can imagine North Dakota coming up with a game plan on that short. And, well, I mean, I know they're preparing for a possible second-round matchup for a week, but there's no way that they can put together a game plan and execute it as well as UNH did the next day. There's no way North Dakota wins that game. I don't care how well they say they're playing. If they were playing that well, they wouldn't have lost their last 2 games before the NCAA tournament, and they wouldn't have choked with a 2-goal lead with 9 minutes to go in the first round of the NCAAs against UNH.
Exactly.
Speaking of the McNaughton Cup, too, this is second year in a row. Colorado College did it last year.
Oh,
but the McNaughton Cup champion has lost its last 3 games of the season.
Blah, 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 blah. Okay, thank you for that.
Getting back to the original question of whether it's a success or a failure, looking at the way the season ended for North Dakota, based on the recent historical standard of the North Dakota program, yeah, it's a disappointment that they did not get back to the Frozen Four. But that said, I think that North Dakota did more with what they had than, you know,
than a lot of teams.
Any,
yeah,
I think just about any team in the country, yeah. Really. I mean,
that's a good
they
point.
Had. Did they have talent? Yes. Were they – but not – you know, I think you can even look at them compared to some of the other teams in the WCHA. And are the, you know, is North Dakota more talent – have more talent on its roster than Wisconsin or Minnesota?
Or Denver?
Or Denver or, you know, go down the list. You know, what they achieved with with the guys that they had, you know, I think it's pretty impressive.
What? The answer to the question might be 3 more questions.
Okay. Wait,
no, here it is. Is North Dakota's season a success? Is what the question is, right?
Easy for you to say.
If you ask, exactly. If you ask us in September, probably not. If you ask us on November 1st, it probably is.
If you ask us
on February 1st, it probably is not. You know what I'm saying? It depends what time you ask a question.
Say the day after the GLI.
Oh, 100% success.
No, but I think with, you know, it's a disappointment now because you look at it in such the small scope of, well, they had this game against UNH in the bag and they let it get away.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
Right, who knows? But, I mean, theoretically, they
should. We talked about Zane Kalemba, you know, holding onto the puck. If Ryan Duncan wins one faceoff, and he had won most of the faceoffs that day.
Mr. Myers, yes.
Oh, God.
But, you know, here's another thing. What if Cornell beats Bemidji State and they go to the Frozen Four? Does that split on Thanksgiving weekend against Cornell look a lot better? Of course it does.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's everything compounds itself. It's amazing.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, you look at I'm looking at it from a big picture standpoint. That, you know, I think
big picture standpoint. North Dakota's good. They didn't go to the Frozen Four.
No, they didn't. No.
Bottom line. Okay, that's okay. It's okay.
But I agree with you, but I think that in the context of the talent that they had on their team, nowhere near as talented as the teams they've had in the league in seasons past. I think they overachieved, and I think they should. I think you can argue that that Dave Haxtell maybe did his best coaching job this year.
I would agree with that.
I picked him for 7th in the league, so obviously I think they overachieved.
Yeah, we heard about that once or twice.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody brought that up? Yeah.
And they finished tied for 16th in the national tournament.
Well, it'd be more of a...
I'm just saying. I don't...
Tie for 8th.
Okay, everyone who gets pissed off, you can email me, Gladdy, GLADDY@InsideCollegeHockey.com.
Tie for 9th.
They were tied for 16th as well. With Notre Dame and Michigan.
And in your email to Gladdy, put in the subject line, delete immediately.
No, put in the subject line.
Sand in wound.
Exactly. All right, we've danced around all the other three regions. Let's get to the thing that...
I think we've only danced around two regions.
Now we got to all three.
No, we mentioned Air Force briefly.
First there was 4.
We talked Manch.
We did not talk about Bridgeport or GR.
We didn't talk much about Bridgeport.
We didn't talk much about Bridgeport. Okay, well, let's not talk about Bridgeport. Let's talk about Grand Rapids.
I was going to say Bridgeport had an odd regional, Bridgeport. But props
all,
to the people.
All of the regionals said.
But, nice to see some full houses there in Bridgeport.
You know, absolutely. Kudos to that. That's a great job by Connecticut Hockey. Yale is a host institution, and Fairfield is a host institution. In a perfect-sized building, it's 8,000. That's perfect.
That is perfect.
Perfect. It's a good size. Just put it. I think, honestly, in a non-related topic, I think that's going to be a new home of the ECAC Hockey Championship.
Really?
I do. Very soon, yes.
Well,
2010 will be in Albany. It's the last year of the contract. I think 2011 will be in Bridgeport.
Is there any thought of going back to Lake Placid, Claudie?
There is a bid and there's a thought, but I think Bridgeport makes more sense.
Because, you know, that's about an 8,000 to 10,000 seat rink, too. Yeah, that's...
It's 10 to 11, but...
Tougher to get to, obviously, then.
Yeah, it's tougher to get to if you're Dartmouth, Harvard, Brown, you know, Yale, Quinnipiac. But it's Lake Placid, and that's a huge thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Here's what I think is going to happen. I think Bridgeport or Albany is going to get the ECACs, and I think that Lake Placid is going to become the D3 permanent site. Because that Division III Frozen Four is the same weekend as ECAC and WCHA and CCHA and Hockey East and all those. Is the same weekend. So I think that Lake Placid becomes the Omaha baseball of Division III hockey.
Gotcha.
And it's a permanent site. I think that's what's going to happen.
Interesting. The Oshkosh.
What's an Oshkosh?
Or wait, Appleton. Where's the Division III baseball? That's in Appleton or someplace. It's someplace in Wisconsin every year, isn't it?
I don't think it's in the same place in Wisconsin every year. I think it's gone from Appleton.
I think you're thinking of the big air show.
No, I'm not thinking of the air show.
I think you're thinking of Barry Radloff's house.
I like the Blue Angels.
RVU show. All right, do you guys want to go to Bridgeport or do you want to go to Grand Rapids?
Well, Bridgeport was kind of...
I don't want to go to Bridgeport.
That's you mentioned the Blue Angels, so let's talk about Air Force.
The guy from Lowell doesn't want to go to Bridgeport.
Hey, you know what? There's a lot to like about Lowell.
Name
them. That's our saying.
Name them.
Well, you got the spinners.
The classic. Welcome to Lowell sign in your rear view mirror.
The guy.
Oh. That, oh.
Who's the boxer?
See, that doesn't even make sense because you wouldn't see it if you were leaving it.
That's how bad it is. They painted it on the wrong side.
No, you'd see it on your rear view mirror if you were leaving Lowell.
Why would it say welcome to Lowell on your way out of Lowell?
You wouldn't be able to read it. It'd be backwards.
It would be backwards.
It would be in your rear view mirror.
No, it wouldn't because you wouldn't be able to see what it says. There's no. Why would there be a welcome to Lowell sign in your rear view? You wouldn't be leaving it.
Okay. This is quite. This is worse than fighting over what color red is.
No. Now I know why that guy at UNH kicked you out of school.
Oh, man! We're taking it up a notch!
Man, fight we'll words.
The Selections on the Edge podcast for the rest of that joke. Okay.
You know what? Maybe we should not listen. We could burn that podcast.
Yeah, we can burn the internet.
The American Museum of Broadcasting called. They wanted those tapes.
Yeah, this is going right into the Smithsonian.
It'll be a lot
next to Fonzie's jacket.
And we'll get to go see it next week.
Yeah. You don't.
I don't? Hey.
I just love how you are questioning why that guy threw me out of school, but you seem to think that there would be a welcome sign for people leaving. Because that's essentially what you're saying.
I will draw you a picture in. I will
draw
you
a drawing right now.
On a cocktail napkin.
No.
Go ahead. Paint me a painting.
I'm going to bring a mechanical pencil for this.
Buff is getting mad. Buff is getting artistic. This
some
is
graph paper.
It's going to be interesting.
You probably can't bring a protractor on an airplane, can you?
Blame those people.
Especially if you're flying international, just be careful. They've got some restrictions there.
Yeah.
Those people.
Blame who, Vladdy?
Blame those people.
Terrorists?
Those people. The people with the protractors.
Yeah.
They ruined it.
Mathematicians.
For bus.
Yeah. Not so big on the pokey stabby on the airplane anymore.
Exactly. First I had to take off my shoes when I got on a plane. Now I have to take off my pants. What the hell is going on here?
I don't think that.
What airline are you flying? Yeah. Are there seats available?
Yeah. You guys never had to do that?
I hope not.
How about your doctor?
I had to take my doctor with me on the plane?
No. Take off your pants. I don't sound much.
Air Force? I got gambling money.
Let's go with Air Force, Michigan, and Vermont Yale.
Anyone.
Bueller, anyone? Air Force, great game plan. Hung in. Well, Volkanig made 50 saves.
Well, yeah, I mean.
They did what they had to do.
But, I saw most of those games, and Michigan had. There were a couple chances that, you know, where Volkanig made some unbelievable saves, but for the most part, it was one shot, minimize the rebound. I mean, kind of. In some sense, it's a bit of a misleading stat, I think, that, you know, you look at the number of saves he made. Yeah, he saw a lot of shots, but they weren't there wasn't a lot of quality to those shots. A lot of shots that were, you know, perimeter shots. The couple that they didn't have some chances in close where they whiffed, then, you know, I remember at least one whiff, and I can't remember who whiffed on it. Basically a virtually empty net. And another one where they had a chance and they put it wide. But there weren't a ton of golden opportunities, I didn't think, for Michigan. And then, you know, going the other way, you know, Air Force guy, you know, the first goal, I think you can say maybe it was a little bit of a lucky shot. But, you know, if the goaltender's going to play him like he's freaking Pavel Bure and, you know, hug the post from that shallow angle, he deserves to pay for that. And then the second goal was pretty 2-on-1. Take advantage of the mistake that Michigan made. So, you know, good for Air Force. They deserve to win that game.
To me, one of the biggest things about that game was Michigan was way better than Air Force. And, like, their speed to the loose pucks was ridiculous. I mean, they were far quicker, far faster. Like, their skill was better, but Air Force did enough to win the game. And when you get back to that point, at the end of the day, who's got more goals? Air Force. And that's why they move on. But Michigan was the better team that day. And Princeton was the better team that night against Duluth.
Absolutely.
And
but it's about making – but like, you know, like you said, it's about making the plays. And, you know, the other thing, too, about Michigan, and again, we kind of touched on this briefly before, was that, you know, just that first period was so disjointed with all the whistles and all the penalties. I think that, you know, I think had that game had a bit of a normal flow, at least in the first period, you know, I think it would have been it would have definitely played to Michigan's advantage. But the way things shook out, there were so many penalties and very little 5-on-5. Just, you know, just was really a disjointed first period, and that, you know, that certainly didn't help Michigan's cause.
Can I ask a bigger question, Bus, before we move on quickly?
Sure.
Has Red Berenson, he'll be back next year, but has he entered that Joe Paterno, Bobby Bowden phase where maybe the best thing for the program would be, you know, someone younger or a change, but that's clearly not going to happen. What's your opinion on that?
Wow, that's a good question.
And I don't want to burn bridges here or anything, but it's I think it's a legitimate question. You know, there Matt Trevor, their SID, told me you could hardly get Red to return a phone call to a reporter this year because there were so many questions about, is this it for you? You know, are you going to retire? Are you going to hang it up? And clearly he wants to be around at least one more year because you've got the Frozen Four in Detroit next year, and that would obviously be a storybook way to, you know, to
cap. Hey, it worked for Tom Izzo.
Yeah. But so just give me your thoughts on that because you know the CCHA a lot better than the rest of us do, I would say.
I think that, you know, I would say that, you know, I would say that Red is doing, and I, you know, I don't, it's not like, you know, we're best buds and I, you know, I can, you know, read his mind or anything or, you know, like that. But I think he's doing what he wants to do, honestly.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, he's coaching hockey. He's involved with hockey. I think he's doing exactly what he wants to do. You know, I don't think that there's, you know, I don't see, there certainly hasn't been a drop off in the level of talent there. There's, you know, that kind of what you saw at Penn State, not that many years, not so long ago with Joe Pa. You know, he's still getting the top end guys there.
Yeah, true.
He's, you know, I don't think there's a drop off. They've just been, you know, they're not that far removed from when they were in the Frozen Four there for a string of about 3 or 4 straight years.
No, I mean, I'm maybe overstating or looking for a problem where none exists, but
no, but know,
obviously
I
there are programs out there that would love to have Michigan's record and do what they've done.
But I know what I see what you're getting at, you know, and you know, is it a question of are they on autopilot? No, I don't think so. I mean,
I think they are.
Really?
Yeah, they get the guys they're going to get. They get in a situation every year where they're not going to fail because they've got the best players or some of the best players. And I think that there's never a chance, never, ever, ever a chance where Michigan is going to play in the first week of the CCHA playoffs. Never.
I guess you could. I think there's a chance. It's not a great chance.
One out of 100?
You know,
you're Lloyd Christmas right now.
so you're telling me there's a chance. Hey, glad he saw a movie. That's great.
I know. Let's stop.
And not only did I see a movie, I saw it about 100 times because I loved it. And I watched it over and over again.
We're going to call you Seabass from now on.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
Cam Neely.
I mean, you know what? it's okay. It's okay for them to be that program, and I'm all right with it, but I don't know.
I don't think they're on autopilot because I think that they've
they're working. I'm not. I think that's the point you're trying to make, Bus.
No, I'm not saying that.
Not trying to discredit them. They are working hard at winning hockey games, and I agree with that, and I believe that.
Are they working hard at getting the best players they can, or do they not need to work hard at that?
They're working hard at getting the players they can get.
Okay.
Was that fair? Do you think?
Well,
I think that's fair.
I mean, let's face it, that they have a huge built-in advantage that the U.S. development program is in Ann Arbor.
We got to go to a recruiting trip across the street.
Exactly. I mean, most of those kids, if not all of them, go to Ann Arbor Pioneer High School, which is literally kitty corner from Michigan Stadium.
That's where you park if you go to a Wolverines football game, right?
Exactly.
Why would you ever go to a Michigan Wolverines football game?
It's the big house.
Big junk.
Yeah, I know. Off topic. I would argue that isn't the end all be all advantage that we expected it would be.
No,
especially when Rich Rodriguez is coach of football.
No, that's not. I'm not saying that it's a huge advantage. But what I'm saying is
horrible football team.
No, I'm not even talking about football.
No, I'm talking about having the USA program in Ann Arbor.
No, but I'm saying that I think that maybe there's a little bit of a comfort level there in knowing that, okay, we've got, how many of our kids, there's 50 kids in that program. You know, a certain number of them it's going to be easy for them to develop an affinity to being in Ann Arbor and, and seeing how the city responds to the university and the hockey program. I mean,
if they're from that area, though, because I look at the number of Gophers that have gone through that program and then come back to Minnesota.
I don't know that
Jordan Schrader was ever tempted to be a Wolverine, for example, or
there's other kids, but there's other kids that have been through there who've been from other, who've been from other cities. They're not all Michigan kids.
Yeah.
But, I think there maybe is a little bit of, Eric Nystrom, Mike Camilleri's, Caparuso's from Ontario.
How did he get national in the United States? No. Camilleri came from St. Mike's, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But, Chad Kolarik was from Pennsylvania.
Yes, exactly. Philly area, yeah.
So they've had their share of kids from.
Now the flip side, Nathan Gerby obviously left that area to go play out east.
Right.
Worked out for him.
Yeah, he did all right.
Worked out for his team too.
Yeah, but I would say that I don't know. I think there are certain built-in advantages. Michigan's one of those schools that can, and one of the few schools that can. Go into any kid's living room and say, hey,
we have wings on our helmets.
You know who we are. You know everything about us. Not just from a hockey standpoint, just from an institutional standpoint.
Right.
I mean, how many hockey schools can say that? Not many.
You're right.
I would say.
Okay, well, I didn't mean to get us way off topic.
I think it's a good question, though. I think it's a fair question.
You know, and maybe this is unfair, too, but the analogy they always make with Bowden and with Paterno is the Bear Bryant fear, that these guys are obviously in their 70s or, I think they're in their 70s now. Red, I know,
they
is
are,
almost 70.
Yeah.
And Bear Bryant, if you don't know the story, was the legendary coach at Alabama forever. He retired from coaching to all this fanfare. And something like 6 months later, he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's put all this fear into these legendary coaches. Like, if you walk away from coaching, you've got nothing left in your life. And,
you're going to die.
Nobody wants to die. And I mean, you joke, but,
who doesn't want to die?
If I hope we can all live that long where we'll get to think about those things. But,
Biggie Smalls was ready to die, wasn't he? Well, anyway.
Going.
Tupac's not dead.
Back to Cali.
I think that
Brooke, do you want to hear mine?
I think it's a fair question, but I don't. You know, I don't see signs of them kind of being coasting, if that's
yeah.
Okay, so we've got to that point from the Bridgeport Regional, and we still haven't talked about Vermont. Which is unfortunate, because that's a really good hockey team.
Sure is.
Tell me about Vermont. Let's give them their shake here. And I'm not trying to diminish what they've accomplished, because it's amazing, and we'll absolutely be all over it this week in D.C., but, Rook, you covered the league all year and for the last several years. Tell me about what Vermont does well and why they're in the Frozen Four and why they deserve it.
Well, they start off with a great defensive system. And, I mean, this is a team that about a month and a half ago, before they went into not even much of a slide, they just weren't playing as well as they were, when I thought that this was a team that was definitely capable of making it to the Frozen Four. I mean, they played defense first, and they've got a solid goalie in Rob Medore, who's a freshman and took over for Joe Fallon, who set basically every single goaltending record that Vermont had. They're extremely well coached. Kevin Sneddon is one of the best people in the league and a great person in hockey. And aside from the fact that he's a very good coach, Victor Stahlberg is the guy up front. I mean, he is the star forward they've really been looking for since Torrey Mitchell departed after his junior year, after their first year in Hockey East. And they've always had a good core of forwards, but they've never had that one go-to guy who you kind of wanted to rely on to score those big goals. I mean, Peter Lennis and Dean Strong and Corey Carlson and Roloff, and there's a nice cast up there, but Stahlberg is the guy who finally came along and eclipsed the 40-point mark. He's got more points and goals than anybody in Vermont in its four-year Hockey East history. And they're a solid hockey team, and I think that they're, like I said earlier, I think they're going to do a very good job against BU in that Frozen Four game.
How long has Sneddon been there?
He has been there
for 10 years now, isn't he?
I think five, maybe six.
Has he been there since they joined Hockey East?
Yeah, at least a year.
Before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
He coached Vermont in ECAC hockey.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, a tremendous coach.
Back to what you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, I was basically wrapped up. I mean, but they're a solid hockey team. There's no doubt about that. They're not there by mistake.
I think they're deeper at forward than you really realize, if that makes sense.
They've got solid players. They just don't have the high profile guys who, BU and BC tend to get.
Right. But I think they've got some nice balance, I guess.
They have very good balance.
You mentioned their forwards, and obviously Stahlberg gets a lot of notoriety because he's had a great year, but Lennis and Strong and Carlson and you mentioned Roloff and Stacy and Milo, they've got a lot. They've just got a lot of balance, and I think that when you look at a team, if you look at the matchup with BU, and I'm sure we'll break this down more next week, I think this is, you talked about how Vermont had, I think they're the only, are they the only team that's beaten BU twice this season?
Yes, they are.
I think this is an intriguing matchup because, obviously they come in with a little confidence. They know that they have a system that's capable of slowing down BU. And, I think they have enough depth at forward to kind of keep BU on their toes. So I'm very interested in seeing this matchup. I think it's going to be a terrific game.
Yeah, and it's two different systems, but similar styles, if that makes sense. I mean, they both, they really have gotten this far because they both play very, very good defense in front of very, very steady goaltenders. And then BU has more offensive firepower, more quick strike ability, And B, you know, you don't get surprised if BU puts up 5 or 6 goals or 8 on Ohio State, but you would be surprised if a Vermont team put up 5 or 6 goals. I mean, that's a team that is definitely capable of putting up 4, and the talent is there, but I would give the defensive system for Vermont, I kind of brings them up to the level where BU can be at, personnel-wise and system-wise, but the biggest edge is the talent among the forwards, especially the top two lines.
Yeah, no question.
I want to give a
good. Go ahead.
I just want to give a quick congratulatory shout out to Bob Corin, the AD at Vermont. No.
No, he's fine.
He
always comes back to Duluth.
Well, no, but I mean, this is a guy who obviously knows what he's doing. I mean, he brought Shannon Miller in at UMD. He brought Scott Sandlin in at UMD. He brought in Bob Nielsen, who won a national championship in football this year. And then he went to Vermont and has obviously done very well there. So congratulations to him. First Frozen Four for him there.
First Frozen Four for them.
Congratulations on this podcast than like my parents at my graduation party.
I got you a card with $8 in it, too. I hope that helps.
And a rear view mirror.
You graduated, Rook?
Tell me about it. Amazing. Sitting right next to my diploma right now.
GED.
Let's let that go. You know what? Here's something I want to throw at the whole next Thursday night's game. Kevin Snedden's a Harvard guy who played for Bill Cleary, who had a good way of getting things done in a short weekend, you know, at a Frozen Four type situation. You give that guy, a Harvard guy, a week and a half to prepare for BU, you think his team's going to be ready to beat that team?
No doubt. I think that's
a good situation for Vermont right now.
Well, and plus all the pressure's on BU. Nobody expects anything from Vermont.
And the other three teams are just, like, ready to go.
Yeah, they're playing with house money.
Exactly. I expect good ice cream from Vermont.
Jerry and Ben, they're nasty.
Occasional maple syrup.
They're nasty at hockey.
Well, I guess that just leaves one more regional.
You got any Boston cliche?
Kevin Snedden won a national championship at Harvard.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, he did.
Yes, he did. Of course he did.
There was a great picture of him in Sports Illustrated just wiping out a gopher.
They beat Minnesota?
They beat Minnesota in the championship game, 1989, my first Frozen Four.
Overtime, I believe.
Your first Frozen Four?
Ed Kreyer with the winning goal against Rob Stauber.
Rook, what year were you born?
83.
Nice.
Rook was 6.
He was...
Jess was drunk.
Legally.
No.
Far from legal.
Is there any St. Paul police listening? God bless you.
All right, let's
talk. He was drinking Lowenbrau.
He was drinking Grain Belt. They felt sorry for him.
Someplace in there was a sentence.
Easy.
It may or may not have been completed.
Okay.
Okay, Midwest Regional.
Bemidji State won a regional. Discuss amongst yourselves.
That just happened.
Bemidji State has 2 NCAA tournament wins. That is more than any of the other state colleges in Minnesota have.
More than St. Cloud.
I didn't want to call anybody out by name. More than St. Cloud and Mankato.
Combined.
Puck, why were you talking about how Bemidji's the state of hockey all of a sudden?
Like, Minnesota is the state of hockey.
Yeah, 30% of your teams in your state won one tournament game.
Yeah?
Yeah, so why are you bragging about it?
One of the made it to the Frozen Four.
Mankato.
This is turning into a real Lincoln-Douglas debate.
It really is.
By the way, how green are those
Mr. commercials? Lincoln, your rebuttal. So?
would the people like a reply? How green is that commercial? Have you seen that commercial?
I'll yield the balance of my time to Mr. Gladyszewski. The gentleman from New York.
Have you guys seen that commercial? It's amazing.
No.
Come on.
I haven't seen it.
When Lincoln rips off his shirt. Goes,
I don't watch a lot of TV.
Good people like a reply. It's awesome. It's awesome. Okay, anyway.
Wow.
I saw a lot of Billy Mays commercials for the slider skillet or whatever that thing was called.
Oh.
If you watched any of that. Anyways.
I saw some.
Just okay. Hear about the ShamWow guy?
Oh, yeah.
We're not talking about Vince. That's for later.
We're not going there from here.
Talk about Vince and Chris Brown in the same sentence later. Jess, you get to be the de facto Bemidji guy now, I guess. Since they're going to be joining the WCHA next year.
See, you've said that twice now. That's far from a foregone conclusion.
3 years.
I'm just going to throw this out there. How can the WCHA not accept Bemidji State now?
If you're Colorado College or Denver or Anchorage or Wisconsin, and
you have an unlimited budget,
you're thinking about the travel it would take to get to Bemidji.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't.
You're thinking
cost
about
anything.
The none extra tickets you would sell by having Bemidji in your building, but you're supposed to say and keep in mind, I'm not saying Bemidji shouldn't get in, but so you're supposed to say, well, they made a Frozen Four, we have to vote for them now. That's not how they think.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if they don't let them in, they're going to look like the biggest jerks on the face of the earth.
Yes. Yes, they are.
And they've done that before.
I don't know that they care.
They don't care. They've been the biggest jerks before.
Yeah, exactly.
Like an hour ago.
So, okay, let's talk about like actual hockey stuff, though.
That's a good idea.
And I love
it. How did Bemidji win that regional?
I guess the Cornell game didn't surprise me as much as the Notre Dame game and just how much Notre Dame didn't show.
They folded their tent. That was bad.
Yeah. And that's not to take anything away from Bemidji because they won the game, but didn't we expect a little more than that? Guys like me who picked Notre Dame to win the national championship?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I was in the same boat. There was a lot of us in that boat.
Thanks, Coach Jackson. Appreciate that.
I think...
Hey, I've been called out on places, and I'll tell you, of course, I said it. I said there's no chance. Bemidji has no chance at winning that game, and they killed him.
That was the funniest haiku we had, by the way.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it ended up in their dressing room wall.
It started, here come the Beavers, and it ended, there go the Beavers.
Here come the Beavers, running Irish buzzsaw. There go the Beavers.
Yeah, there was...
We need to write a, like, apology haiku nap.
There was no indication of that.
How does that happen?
But,
Bus, let me just jump in right here. The Michigan Air Force game, you can say, you know what? Yeah, I can kind of see that.
Air Force was 14-0 at one point.
Exactly. You know, the Miami-Denver game, you can say, yeah, I
can
kind of see that. The Bemidji Notre Dame game, you're like, there's no effing way. But it
happened. Oh, yeah, we got the score, 1-0 Bemidji. And it's like, oh, that's cute.
That's cute. We've seen this before.
neat for them. Get their fans excited for a minute,
Air Force at Denver.
Then it's 3-0.
Yeah, then it's 3-0. It's like, wow. And then you're thinking, it's going to be a heartbreaker when Notre Dame comes back and wins this.
We got to realize this was Saturday. This was after.
Yeah, this was basically
this was
the
after
last
the Air Force Michigan game.
This was the last first round game.
True. By that point, Saturday, nothing should have surprised you after what New Hampshire did. After Denver completely didn't show. I mean, by that point, nothing should have been that surprising, right. And yet it was.
I'm willing to give when you look at the number one, that's one thing that kind of, annoyed me about the weekend is, you're watching all these broadcasts and they're talking about upset this, upset that. Well, Michigan losing to Air Force is kind of an upset, but Air Force is a pretty darn good team. Let's not forget that.
Yep.
Denver losing to Miami upset? No. I mean, those teams are pretty – if you go through the roster and look at the talent.
And if you know those coaches, there were no surprises as to what anybody was going to throw at anybody
right.
else.
Right. I don't see that as an upset.
Yeah.
You know.
No, in numbers it was an upset.
In numbers, but, you know, let's look at the teams. You know what? And Air Force has some talented guys. I mean, there's no question about that, too. We should probably throw that in there. It's
one of them's a Hobie finalist.
One of them's a Hobie finalist, and one of them is Greg Flynn, who should be an All-American, I think. Yeah. He's a darn good defenseman. But, yeah, the Notre Dame thing
just
kind of came out of nowhere. And, you know, I have to be honest, I didn't see enough of the game to be able to make a a guess as to, you know, what happened. But I saw enough of Bemidji on Sunday against Cornell to
if you don't know a lot about the Beavers, and frankly, how would you? You know, I can't picture the last time they were on TV even. But, you know, Matt Dalton, who's a sophomore goalie.
Picture, then.
Right. Matt Dalton is a sophomore. He's 22 years old, so obviously he's an experienced sophomore. Played great in goal. He's a kid out of Clinton, Ontario, played in the USHL. And, yes, I'm reading this right off the internet. They have one NHL draft pick on the team, Chris Peluso, who's a junior defenseman. He was picked by the Penguins.
You got a little, hey, how about you draft my nephew?
Exactly.
I was on the crash line for the 95 Devils. We won the cup. My name's in the cup. Yeah. Now kick your bum.
And then, you know, guys like
Mike Peluso's nephew.
Yeah, you know. And still, you look at all that, and yeah, you got some good players, but that still doesn't add up to Frozen Four. I mean, it's just, this is beyond bizarre, but, you know, congratulations.
Yeah.
Another congratulations, Rook.
I think that, it really does defy description.
We're looking at, you know, George Mason making the Final Four a couple of years ago.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you just.
You guys are walking right into the big segue.
But it's not so much that they were hanging on for dear life, you know.
No, they played great.
I mean, they
played great.
Those games were not in doubt for very long.
Never, yeah.
No.
Here's the deal. On that regional, I want to say two things. I wanted to see Thiessen make that save on Barlow with 20 seconds left. You're a Hobie guy. You got to make that save. Bottom line. Not calling him out, but just saying, show me something. And now this is the part where I'm going to call him out. And not calling him out, but just circumstances, here's how it went down. Peanut final led in what, 4 or 5 goals, Rook?
Yeah, something like that.
3 shorties in a row or something like that?
Yep.
You know, lost in the semis against Lowell. Head-to-head against Kalemba and Princeton early in the season. Statement game back at Thanksgiving time. Lost that game. Came into this game. They had a 1-goal lead with 5 minutes left. Led in 2 goals. I love Thiessen. I know every single night he was pressed up against it. And he had a fantastic season, but I would have liked to seen him make those plays in those big games. So I just got to get that up. Off my chest.
I think that's I think it's a valid statement, but I think that also you put the caveat in there that, you know, his margin for error is pretty slim.
So then the question becomes, Buzz.
That's not a bad.
I'm sorry
team.
To cut you off. Sorry to cut you off, but then the margin becomes: how much credit do we give him for beating Merrimack 2-1 on a Friday night in January, relative to the Beanpot final? Or the Hockey East semi, or the national tournament, you know, first round game. We got to measure that stuff. And I don't know if it's there.
But the other, I mean, you say he has a little margin for error. The Northeastern's a good team. There's some really good players on that team.
No, I they're definitely a good team. But
I don't know if they are or not. Last 3 weeks, I don't know if they are.
No, right now, the last month of the season, they were not a good team. I mean, this like Thiessen wasn't a one-man show. He's not. No. He doesn't deserve that.
But let's.
Because that there are really talented players on that team. They had a bad last month of the season.
But they don't. I mean, offensively, they're offensively challenged. Let's put it that way.
I love Vitale.
Talented forward, not Janand and McLeod.
I love Janand and McLeod. I love Tucker. I love Tuckerman. He could play for me any day.
I like Quayler. I think
you start your own team.
Yeah, Quayler's good. I mean,
if I was, we win the national championship. I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. I my money's on you.
I got this.
And North Dakota would finish seventh.
I got this. I got this.
But
give me Stalock and McGregor ain't so sharp. We'll be good.
I think. I have no idea where this is even going. We were talking about Northeastern at one point in time.
Oh, yeah. Let's get back.
You know, you have to remember, I think, with Northeastern is that, you know, you get around that beanpot time, you know, their first place in Hockey East, they're getting into some uncharted waters there for that, for the, you know, this group. You know, kind of the same thing you talked about with Princeton. You know, last year they get into the NCAA tournament and kind of take a, you know, look around and see what it's all about. This year, you know, they take a little bit more of a step. Where do they go next year? And I think we're kind of seeing Northeastern go through that process as well.
Their big growth year was last year, though, and this year was when they really kind of capitalized on it. They really just ran out of steam. They just looked like a tired team.
Right. Well, I mean, and part of that, I think, has to do with Boston University continually on their tails for, you know, trying to reel them in that Hockey East race. And you know, I think I said that last week, and I'll say it again. I mean, I think they expended a lot of energy trying to stay ahead of BU, and eventually it caught up to them.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know, I don't know. I guess what was the original question that, you know, maybe they're not as good as we thought they were. Yeah, I guess you can say that, but I don't know.
To be fair, and you know, maybe they didn't deserve. They probably weren't the fifth best team in the country this year. That seemed to be the spot in the rankings they held down for a while. But after last weekend, I don't know if we can say that any team is as good as we thought they were.
No, that's a valid point.
Yeah, put it in the context of what happened last weekend, and all bets are off.
All bets are off is right. I think
this is college sports. All bets are off.
Yeah, exactly.
Rick Neuheisel said.
No line.
Rick Neuheisel's in my office pool.
Art Schleister called.
And I got 3 out of 4 in the final four. We are nailing it.
Giddy up.
Rook, you're a Carolina guy.
Yeah, that's right.
They going to win?
Yeah, they are.
Whole thing?
Whole thing.
They going to lose on Monday night to Spartans?
They are not.
Well, I think if he said that they're winning the whole thing, that the prospects of them losing on a Monday night would probably...
I was giving him a chance
probably prevent them from winning the whole thing if they didn't win Monday.
That would I was giving him a chance to track back I think if he won.
It would probably preclude that scenario from playing out as he had originally expressed.
Let me just throw out an idea, and we'll talk about this ad nauseum a year from now. But Ford Field, since we're talking about the Final Four, in Detroit, with these four teams coming to play a year from now. Wow. That's a ticket seller's dream, huh?
a lot of room for hay.
Duluth, Vermont, and BU? And Bemidji?
Duluth didn't make it. I don't know.
Duluth and Bemidji are the same, as according to your away messages.
That score just that
they're
score
all
just
the state
went
of
final.
Hockey. It's all good.
That score just went final. I think there.
We're good. Yeah.
That Duluth score.
Hang on. We're getting a final. Yeah.
Chico Resch made a save in a shootout, and Duluth wins.
His friends call him Walt
Lettingham had the game winner.
Pokey Traxel.
His friends call him Glenn. All right.
Glenn Chico?
Glenn Resch.
Last time I saw him, I was in downtown Newark.
On purpose.
He had free tickets. Of course he was there.
Exactly. I know the mayor.
The last part of this podcast is going to be short and sweet. And it's, what do we expect from the Frozen? Start with Buzz.
I think what we can expect is... my head wants to say that we're going to expect the exact opposite of what we saw this past weekend. And that I think that the I think it's going to play pretty true to form. I think we're going to end up with a BU Miami final. We'll be rocking the red there on Saturday night in the Verizon Center. And I think BU ends up winning. Maybe this is just one of those years where the unexpected is going to continue to happen. But, I think things will return to form.
Rook, what's the schedule?
Rook,
on Thursday?
What do you think?
What's the schedule?
On Thursday.
The early game is Bemidji and Miami.
I think that's a 5:30 face-off.
5 o'clock Eastern.
5 o'clock, and then the second game is BU Vermont at 8.
5:30 in Newfoundland.
8:30.
Yeah. 8:30?
8:30 Eastern, right?
I thought it was
8 o'clock.
I thought it was 8, but...
Okay, 5 and 8 then.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't give you much time, though, if you get an overtime or... A piece of glass pops out or something.
I think it's a single admission for the semis this year, right?
It is. It is a single admission.
Then that's why they're doing it.
And in Detroit, it's going to be a single admission for all three games.
hang out for a day and a half.
If you buy a ticket to any event in Detroit next year, you get into the Frozen Four.
Are they going to make us stay for the Lions whole season, too?
Yes.
If you buy
Lions preseason tickets, you get into the Frozen Four.
That's why they're having these tournaments in Ford Field, by the way. It's because the fans in Detroit deserve to see somebody win in that building.
Right. Yeah, they see a lot of visiting teams win in that building.
I saw the Titans win there on Thanksgiving Day in the first 3 minutes.
We're nasty. We are nasty.
You don't even follow NFL. You're not allowed to comment.
I am now. We are nasty at football.
I'm going to say nope.com on that.
You know why he gets to comment? Because he has a podcast.
If he's going to call you out for bandwagoning the state of hockey, at least you live in the state of hockey.
How am I bandwagoning the state of hockey? I've lived here all my life.
I've seen
the day of your life.
Was there a time when I was bashing Minnesota hockey?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that if Gladys is going to call you out for bandwagoning the state of hockey...
I may have bandwagoned the Beavers a tiny bit.
He needs to be called out for bandwagoning the Tennessee Titans.
That's right.
On a podcast maybe a month ago, he said, the NFL is a joke. I hate the NFL. People are talking about the NFL in February.
Boss, why are you yelling in Michael Oilers?
Can't stop yelling.
We are awesome. Lorenzo White, Warren Moon, Ernest Givens... Electric sliding.
If you bring up Bud Adams, you know it's a college hockey podcast.
My
Bum
God.
Phillips. Yeah.
Bum Phillips. Jerry Glanville.
Mike Munchak.
Our coaches punch each other because that's how we do it.
That's how they roll.
And that's why we are a hockey team in football garb.
Okay.
All right.
We started with deterioration and just got worse.
Deterioration.
Kind of a microcosm of the regionals, wasn't it?
Nah.
We started with deterioration and it just got worse.
Personal record for deterioration, which is unfortunate.
Who invited Foster Brooks on this podcast?
Why are you yelling?
Is Dean Martin on here?
I just saw Arthur on HBO. I don't know why I thought that.
He's good.
He's dead.
The Aardvark or the movie?
No, the movie.
Good and dead.
I thought maybe you were watching PBS Kids.
No. Good times.
All right.
I think we're done with the podcast.
I'm looking forward to a great Frozen 4. You didn't ask me, but
it's not going to be a great Frozen 4.
I don't care who's there. I don't care where it is. It's always a great Frozen 4, except in Columbus.
Can I just say something real quick?
Yes.
Sure.
I was leaving the game tonight, and I get on the train, and then, you know, I'm trying to get home and eat fast, the Celtics.
What game?
Dribbling. It was dribbling.
I pull up to a Wendy's because I want to eat real quick right before the podcast. And what is in front of me at the Wendy's drive-thru but a Domino's delivery man? It was just like that commercial that they show on TV.
That one.
Well, you know, instead of showing Bemidji, they show commercials all the time, I guess. But, and no, seriously, I mean, it was great. Seeing a Domino's guy up at a Wendy's drive-thru is priceless.
That's classic.
I thought you were going to say you saw Vin Baker.
Wow.
Big baby Glenn Davis.
Hey, Bus, you know the Wendy's on Trowbridge in the plaza?
I know of it.
In East Lansing, yeah.
I've been there maybe
it's once. Over there on Briar, isn't it?
Yeah.
I went in there.
Seven Briar.
I went in there and saw Steve Smith. It was awesome.
Stephen A. Smith?
No, Stephen. Steve Smith, the legend.
Steve Smith from American Dad.
Wow.
Anyway.
We are in true deterioration.
One final deterioration comment. The MSU basketball team departed for Detroit today.
Kayla send off to go 45 miles.
No. Honest to God. They, in the paper.
Hang on a second here.
They published.
WCHA guy.
They published the route.
Hang on.
They published the route that they were taking out of town, and people were encouraged to line up along the route and send them out of town, you know?
Sure.
The bus caravan or whatever it was. And I was thinking I should have gone out. I was going to, had I had a little bit more warning, I only found out, like, you know, maybe a half hour before they were going to leave. I was going to go out there with a sign that says, hold up a big sign that said, don't lose. I thought that would have been.
Speaking of fan welcoming.
Go Heels.
In the Bemidji Pioneer, they talked about the, quote, dozens of fans that showed up at the airport when the Beavers got back from the regional. And the best line they had was they said, it was Beatlemania on a Bemidji scale.
Oh, jeez.
Unfortunately, they were talking about Beetle Bailey.
That's right.
Plus, a minute ago, you were talking about college.
I don't know.
College
what
basketball send-offs.
Yes.
And when Duke point guard Greg Paulus ended his career last week, I said, all those people
right
are standing.
Right in front of me.
Right in front of Rook Howe, I said, all those people are standing up and congratulating him on ruining Notre Dame football.
Something like that.
And wow. Brady Quinn is saying, thank you for giving me a $1 million contract because I suck. And no one would ever know who I was if Greg Paulus played college football.
I have one line of advice for a Duke point guard. Just stay off a motorcycle.
Easy.
Somewhere this podcast is funny.
Learn from your mistakes.
All right, Rook.
I'm just going to... There was something else I was going to throw out. Oh, it was about the Bemidji thing. Was the surprising thing about that story that Bemidji had dozens of fans or that they have an airport?
I've actually flown into the Bemidji airport several times. It's got a runway and everything.
So it sounds like the dozens of fans is
in grass. Part.
No, it's paved. It's bituminous. Bemidji Airlines used to fly into Warroad. Back when there was Bemidji Airlines.
What about Roseau?
They merged with Braniff, I think.
What about my Rams?
I talked to one of your Rams today. I talked to Aaron Ness.
We are nasty. We are nasty.
Oh, by the way, speaking of your Rams, their coach just quit today. Scott Oliver.
Yeah, I'm coaching the team, by the way.
His son's going to play at St. Cloud next year, so he said he wants to spend more time watching his son. So there's your opening, Gladdy, that team you were going to put together.
Tell you what, that opening's closed. I'm the new coach of the Rams.
Done and done.
We are nasty. She said. Nasty. We are nasty.
Hey, I saw an Oswego sweater last weekend, Gladdy.
Yeah?
I did.
At the Manchester?
At the Manchester.
Nice. Green and gold, lost. Right?
It could have been.
Perfect. Perfect. Good. Good. All right, this is the end of the podcast. Anybody else?
Forever.
Let's hope. Anybody? 3, 2, good night.